Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, party people, it's time to rise and grind. This is the Early Line on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM channel 159. It's what we do in the morning. And over the next 2 hours, myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Jim Cantore, a.k.a. Joe Ranieri, will be with us to break it all down. But look, let's get to the weather center here, Joe Ranieri. Give us an update down there in Florida.
Yeah, it is not good here, Donnie, and I have much better hair than Jim Cantore, but it is the poor people on the west coast of Florida, Tallahassee, that whole panhandle area getting absolutely destroyed right now with a Category 4 hurricane, and those that have lived through them, and we've had our fair share here in South Florida, we thoughts and prayers to those people, and try to make it through the next couple of hours, because it is brutal right now.
Yeah, interesting times there, certainly, not only with, you know, just getting to your day-to-day lives, it does affect the sporting community as well. But I got to say this, if the entire state of Florida lost power, how would the Sports Grid Network run with Joe Ranieri just about appearing on every single show, holding this network up? That's our guy here, and that's why we got him this morning. Let's get to the hot topics here, Joe.
Right.
7-in-7, and it starts with Jonathan Taylor. I'm telling you right now, Joe, we could do an entire show on the Indianapolis Colts and what is actually going on in the interworkings of this organization. So let's just update the people where we're at now. There was a mandatory deadline imposed by the Colts that technically wasn't mandatory that said, Jonathan Taylor, you can go out in these streets and make a deal, and if you come back with compensation that we can accept, we will trade you. That didn't happen. Jonathan Taylor goes back to the Colts. He's not actually injured, but now he's on the pup, so he won't play the first 4 games and get paid. My goodness, how did we get here, Joe?
Well, one word, Ursay. That's how we got here. And the funny part is, Donnie, this is not going to be figured out overnight. This is going to drag into the season. So now you got running back by committee, and Ursay still has no idea what he's doing.
I mean, we're going to talk about this in the next segment. And again, just being passionate about running backs aren't supposed to matter anymore in the NFL. They're going to matter on this show this morning because we're going to rip apart the Colts here. Let's keep moving forward here. Good news story, not opposed to running backs being on the pup. How about DeMar Hamlin makes the 53-man roster for the Buffalo Bills? He's on the team. And did anybody say right now, comeback player of the year, award this man right now.
Great, great news. Great job, DeMar Hamlin. There was obviously all sorts of concerns as far as whether or not he'd ever be able to play again. And, you know, would he mentally be able to get over, the situation that happened to him? And the answer is yes and yes. And, that's great news for the Buffalo Bills and for, DeMar Hamlin.
By the way here, Joe, we are ready for a media leak here between Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. No contract yet. The template is out there. We know, as just sitting here talking about it, what those contract details are supposed to be. But it looks like now as we get closer and closer to the start of the regular season, if Joe Burrow does not have that deal, let's hear some of that slander, Joe.
Yeah, you know what? Kudos to both of the agents, Joe Burrow, and the organization for not making this a story. Because you and I both know they are trying to get anything and everything out of them, but they're not budging. It's actually refreshing to see, Donnie, that people on both sides can keep their mouth shut and not leak to the media here what's going on behind closed doors. Actually, pretty refreshing.
So welcome in the radio audience. You're watching and listening live to the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM channel 159. This is the Early Line. Joe Ranieri and Donnie Wrightside here getting the hottest topics in the sports landscape in our 7-in-7, which includes This is why I want to be an owner of a professional sports team. Run it into the ground. Make decisions that don't make any sense. Look at your bank account, and it's much higher than it was the day before. We're talking about the Angels here, as they release six players onto waivers here of the guys they quote-unquote went all in with to make the playoffs. What is going on in Los Angeles?
This is like the people trying to flee a hurricane. They're just grabbing whatever they can on the way out the door, and they're like, see you later, people. And by the way, the winners in all of this are those names on that list right there, because now they're available to sign on with a team that might actually be in the playoffs and have a chance. But that's all about the salary dump and trying to stay under that threshold so they don't get penalized come trying to re-sign Ohtani.
Going for it, getting worse, and losing Ohtani in a matter of what, 4 or 5 months? Tremendous.
Yep.
By the Los Angeles Angels and their owner, Artie Moreno. But let's talk about the Yankees. We're ready to make moves here to make the playoffs. Why? Josh Donaldson and Harrison Bader have been released. That should help.
Really? What took so long? What took so long here? And Harrison Bader, by the way, is a free agent who they're not planning on signing, so that makes sense as well.
Yeah, it's good times here in Major League Baseball. Teams in big markets that we expected to do big things, both are basically waving the white flag before we even get to September. How about Team USA? Absolutely dominating Team Jordan. 110-62, and also college football week number one coming up. Kyle McCord, he's going to start for Ohio State.
That something tells me there is nothing in stone in that decision, and this could be a week-to-week thing. That worries me a little bit, Ohio State backers.
Yeah, a lot of similarities here between the Arizona Cardinals and the Ohio State Buckeyes. One actually trying to win by having a quarterback competition. One actually trying to lose and still having a quarterback competition. But you know where we're going next. It's the Indianapolis Colts. Let's check in to see exactly what's going on in their running back room. It's the early line. It's Wednesday morning. It's Joe and Donnie. Don't you go anywhere. Keep the dial right here on SiriusXM 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number one in full effect here as we talk some NFL action. Here's the best part about this. Today is Wednesday. Tomorrow's Thursday. Hey, football. We are 1 week away from the start of the NFL season when you wake up tomorrow. But still, we got a lot of details that we have to sift through. And usually, Joe Ranieri, what do we spend our time talking about? The Kansas City Chiefs, the Philadelphia Eagles, the San Francisco 49ers, the Miami Dolphins, teams that we actually expect to do big things in 2023. But you know what the most passion coming from me this morning is by far? It's the Indianapolis Colts. And it started a week ago when they said, Jonathan Taylor, go out and find yourself a trade partner. If you can find one that we can accept, which means getting the equivalent of a first-round draft pick, whether it is an actual first-round draft pick, two twos, two threes, three threes, whatever it might be, we'll be able to move you. You'll probably get a new deal, and everybody will be happy. You saw the writing on the wall here. That probably was not going to happen. I'm actually surprised that a trade didn't go down, figuring that the Miami Dolphins were in on it. At least that's what we were hearing, along with a mystery team, that somebody was going to win that bidding war, and there's no way the Colts are bringing Jonathan Taylor back. So here we are today. Jonathan Taylor, who is not injured, goes on the PUP list. So he can't play, Joe, for the first four games of the season, which are going to include the Jaguars, the Houston Texans, the Baltimore Ravens, and the Los Angeles Rams. We're not expecting big things out of the Colts this year at all. But my goodness, as a business-savvy person, you're supposed to be that in the NFL, but apparently that doesn't matter. The reason I bring it up is you're going to pay Jonathan Taylor 4 weeks to not play football, then try to trade him again, and miraculously expect that you're going to get the equivalent of a first-round draft pick here. What a disaster for the Colts.
It's not great. And it's not great really on either side. But the Colts coming out and saying that they did not find what they felt was a quote unquote a fair value offer. I don't know how fair to who exactly, because obviously there was interest. You mentioned it and we heard it here in Miami, that there was a serious consideration and a serious push. Unfortunately, it appears that whether it had been Miami or anybody else, nobody came even close to offering anything in terms of a first-round pick. Why? Because, Donnie, is our established running backs worth a first-round pick? Is any team willing to take a risk on a now-hurt running back and give up a first-round pick? I mean, that's gold in the NFL. So I think two things are happening here. I think the Colts are realizing they probably screwed this up in some way, shape, or form. But I think the other reality here has got to set in for Jonathan Taylor. I mean, you can ask whatever you want, right, Donnie? It doesn't mean teams are going to agree and give you that. And teams could have gone out of their way to pay for you. But if they won't give even so much a consideration as to a first-round pick for you, what do you think they're going to offer you in terms of a long deal here, Donnie? I just think maybe this is a reality check for everybody involved, including Jonathan Taylor. But that doesn't help Andy Richardson or Coach Steichen or this Colts team, who now has to go with running back by committee. And do not be surprised if by the next 24 to 48 hours, Kareem Hunt is actually in a Colts uniform here at some point.
One of the most explosive young running backs in football in the last year of his deal, $3.7 million. Like, and the Colts, again, not up against it. We always talk about this, Joe. I could see if you said, you know what? We just brought in Aaron Rodgers. We got to pay him $65 million a year. Jonathan, we can't pay you any money. They're paying quarterbacks nickels and dimes right now, which means they can afford Jonathan Taylor. Now, am I saying open up the, you know, coffers and pay him whatever he wants to a 7-year extension? No, I'm not. But my goodness, he makes $3.7 million. You said, you know what? I can't give you a long-term deal. Let's rip it up. 1 year, $8 million. I guarantee you Jonathan Taylor would be out on that football field going, you know what? Let me just make the best of it. Hopefully next year I do get traded. They franchise tag me. We work something out and we can be in the future, because here's what's driving most people crazy. The Colts apparently don't think he's a great football player. $3.7 million, you're lucky to make that. We know how explosive you are. You're running back. You're lucky you make that money. And then saying on the market, because theoretically here, if we take a look, to be honest, Joe, if they go out and go, hey, you know, fourth-round pick for Jonathan Taylor, let's move it. Because that would be the equivalent of what they actually think based on his pay right now, right? But they're going, no. He's a game changer. He's worth a first-round pick out here. So unless we get that, we're not trading him. So Jonathan Taylor's got to be sitting with his agent going, I don't understand this. I'm being shopped around as the best running back in football, but they don't want to pay me anything above my 3.7. That's what's crazy about this, Joe.
And it's not, you know, I don't blame, and by the way, it is, he's been at odds with them for a while. This didn't just happen in this offseason. Yeah. He's been very vocal about how they screwed him over during his injuries. He was not happy there. He obviously wasn't happy with the offer or the ability or any sort of momentum towards going with a long-term deal, one that he felt he deserves, right? I mean, one that he feels he earned. I mean, he is, what, 2 years removed from being the guy in the NFL, and then all of a sudden now the Colts are like, yeah, but if, you know, you didn't show up tomorrow, nobody'd miss you. So what do they end up doing? They end up putting him on the PUP list, which means, guess what, Donnie? He is going to be out of sight, out of mind for at least four games, and nobody can see him even play. Even if he's healthy, they could have carried him on the active roster. They could have, and then inserted him at any point when he was healthy, ready to play. But instead they said, okay, you're going to go away and nobody's going to, out of sight, out of mind. Nobody's going to think about you because nobody's even going to know if you're healthy enough to play, because we're basically stashing you away where nobody can find you.
It's unbelievable, too, because this drama is not going to end. And Adam Schefter tweeted and says the Colts' best opportunity to deal their all-pro running back could be October 31st at the deadline here. And then if they don't, they could tag him and try to trade him again, which, again, he's coming back. He's not playing for 4 weeks. Are we miraculously going to say, like, Jonathan, is like, man, I missed football, Joe, so much that after week five, I don't care what my contract is, I want to play for the Colts. No. You know what they're going to say again? Hey, you know what? He's still rehabbing that ankle that's not actually injured at this point. That's and correct. The charade continues. Mm-hmm. So then tell me, October 31st shows up here. You're actually going to get more compensation while the guy hasn't played any football this year and he's just going to show up on a new team for a first-round draft pick? I don't think so. And then try the charade again next year where you don't want to pay and you got a franchise franchise tag him or you just let him walk. It's unbelievable because also, let's take a look at the opposite side. You're trying to break in a new quarterback in Anthony Richardson. We know he's not ready for a primetime passing game just yet. Do you know what the best friend of a quarterback will be, especially when he's young? Oh, my goodness. I just handed the football from first down. We get 6-7 yards a clip here, which puts me ahead of the sticks. You want to pay him because it helps your quarterback as well. I just see everything mismanaged right now from a Colts perspective.
Well, and, you know, listen, let's take it from the Colts perspective, right? So this is all about leverage. That's all this is about. And Ursay, unfortunately, for as big a blowhard as he is, he understands the concept of leverage, and he has it all. And unfortunately for Jonathan Taylor, learning a valuable lesson, you don't, my man. And this would be a different story if he was 100% healthy, raring to go, showed up at camp, was dazzling people. But now the worst position to be in with question marks hanging over your head from a health perspective and from a what does this guy want perspective is the running back position, which we already know. And unfortunately, Indy doesn't have to do a damn thing because you're not costing them anything. So they can stash you and then you can, you know, huff and puff and stamp your feet and do all you want to do. But the bottom line is you're under contract, Donnie, until through next year. So you have no leverage here. And it's showing right now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just wild to watch this play out. And also, take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook today. The Colts regular season win total for 2023-2024 sits at 6.5 wins. And also, Joe, that's juiced at a -118 price. So 7-10 is going to get that ticket. There's so much turmoil. We don't know how long Anthony Richards is going to be the starting quarterback for. Is Gardner Minshew going to be the guy? Who's running the football? And it's a shame it turned out to this because you're supposed to have all eyes on the quarterback position, a young head coach getting off on the right foot, and it feels like you're just sandbagging him right now at this point. More NFL talk later in the show, but you know what we're going to do next? Talk about Major League Baseball. What's going on the diamond? Come back to find out next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here. Just talk some NFL action, or should I say non-action, with Jonathan Taylor here on the early line. But let's get into some Major League Baseball talk here because a lot's going on across the league. Now, if we start with the New York Yankees here, Joe, and why not? 19 games back of the Baltimore Orioles, 64-68 on the season. Nowhere near wild card contention at this point, but the Yanks are making moves at the right time to try to get back in contention. Yes, I'm joking here. Josh Donaldson has been released. One of those guys that they expected as a veteran to do big things and was absolutely terrible in 2023. Nothing has gone right for the Yankees, and apparently now is the time to make changes here, Joe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, it's 2 years. The contract's coming to an end. They inherited the remainder of that, $94 million contract Minnesota gave him a few years back. He got to the Yankees, and all he's done has been, we haven't really seen him a whole lot. A decent third baseman defensively, but ultimately he was a liability at the plate when he was available. But most of the times, Donnie, we know he wasn't available because he was hurt with one thing or another. He's still got a calf strain. So he hasn't been able to help them offensively. You got to go. They released Bader, and that makes sense because they had no intention of re-signing him for next year. So they just let him go. And, you know, a lot of people are asking, what the hell took you so long? Oh, and by the way, could Stanton, as long as we're releasing useless people, how about Stanton? Is that a possibility here, Don? Maybe we can get rid of him as well.
They want to send him back to Miami there in exchange for the statue. You can put that nice statue there that Miami got rid of and put that in Yankee Stadium here. I think it'll make some fun for the fans here. Also, keeping a look at the fans, you have Old Timers Day coming up with Derek Jeter will come back and, I guess, put on his jersey and wave to the crowd. That's exciting to look forward to for Yankees fans. And also, Jason Dominguez looks like the Yankees. And here's my favorite part about this. When you move into September, they expand the rosters here. The reason why they do that is some of the younger players can come up after the AAA season is done, get their feet wet, and away they go in the spring training in the offseason, but get a look at them on Major League Baseball competition, but not have their clocks start yet here. Now, what's the issue here with the Yankees? Because the latest reports are, by the way, this is sitting on Hal Steinbrenner's desk if they want to bring up Jason Dominguez. What's going on in this organization, Joe?
I have no idea. I mean, they just promoted him, I believe, to what, AAA? He's been raking. I mean, the roster goes from, I think, 25, 26 maybe to 28. It's only a couple of spots here. But when you're getting rid of Bader, right? You got Donaldson's no more on there. So, you know, isn't this the entire point of bringing up at this time of year here, bringing up some of these guys at 20 years old especially, and he is – all indications are absolute beast. And don't forget, they signed him back in 2019 for some sort of ridiculous number, like $5 or $6 million. They ended up giving him the sign for. So he has been on everyone's radar. Everyone's been wondering, where is this kid? Well, guess what? You might have an opportunity to see him here sooner rather than later, but let's just hope the Yankees don't screw it up.
This is what drives Yankees fans nuts, too, including Kevin, when I, you know, get after him about this. It's like, Cashman, hey, look, we're not going after Otani. We're not going after any high free agents. You wait to see this Dominguez kid next year in pinstripes, and you'll be satisfied with that. So we'll wait and see what the Yankees do, but we'll see if he actually does get some at-bats here in September. Let's keep it right in the American League East here, because the team I want to talk about, the Toronto Blue Jays, 3.5 games back in the wild card race. So how about this? The Rangers, Mariners, and Astros all in a virtual tie. We'll talk about that just a little bit later. But if we focus on Toronto, a team coming into the season with a ton of expectations, a ballpark that was reconfigured that you figured three people would hit 40-plus home runs on that roster this year. But Bo Bichette, one of those key cogs in the lineup, just can't seem to stay healthy. He goes back to the IL here, and that could be damaging here down the stretch for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Well, it's damaging because they also can't hit anybody home with runners in scoring position. Another 1-for-11 night last night, Donnie, with this team. And now what are we talking about? Losers of 5 of the last 6 or 6 of the last 7, something along those lines. And, you know, I thought maybe there would be a point where Toronto would turn things around because I thought their ceiling was much higher than some of the other teams. But it's, you know, you are what you are at this point as we get ready to approach September here. So, unfortunately, this is going to go down as one of the more underperforming teams that we have seen in a long time.
Certainly does seem that way at this point, but still going to be interesting to see how a lot of these teams played into September with a legitimate chance at the wild card race. Let's take a look on the West Coast last night. I want to get you guys updated on a score. Now, the Diamondbacks were playing really good baseball. The Diamondbacks go into Los Angeles and go, you know what? Let's treat this as a playoff series. We're going to throw Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly back-to-back, and let's try and see what we have. They got broken up both games by the Dodgers, including last night, a 9-1 beatdown, which included 16 hits. The Dodger machine is rolling right now, which does include Mookie Betts hitting his career-high 36th home run of the season. When you talk about heading towards the playoffs, trying to get in the playoffs, make a spot here, but also psychologically feeling that you can compete, that's tough, man. You got your two aces on the mound, you get busted up twice.
Not great at all. You know, maybe, but unfortunately, that it's the Dodgers, right? So you have to kind of take it with a grain of salt because the Dodgers have been doing this to teams all year long, and not just this year, but over the last couple of years here. And the game was out of reach quickly, too, again, Donnie, right? The Dodgers, they do an amazing job of just demoralizing you and making you have to play catch-up quickly. But that game was over. I mean, they just hammered, you know, Kelly at that particular point. And Kershaw, you know, it must be nice getting staked to like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 run leads, right? And be able to let you go ahead and kind of round into form as they get ready for another postseason here at Kershaw's age. So all cylinders are firing on the Dodgers right now. Unfortunate for the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Also unfortunate for the Arizona Diamondbacks, they wake up this morning and find themselves out of the playoffs if it were to start today, which means the Giants and the Reds had some big doings on the West Coast last night, and that was the Giants, a 6-1 victory over the Reds. And how about this? A guy in Alex Cobb that we talked about yesterday, high ISO power numbers, you know, high weighted on base percentages against them, he threw a gem last night, came within one out of getting a no-hitter against the Reds. That's a prime-time performance that you need because the Reds and the Giants jockeying for playoff positioning here. And if the season ended today, those Giants are going to the playoffs.
Hats off to him. I have no idea. I said yesterday on the show, I kind of liked the spot for the Reds to be able to get to Cobb, who doesn't strike out and miss a lot of barrels there. And, he's the pitch to contact kind of guy. Well, he did strike out a few last night. And oh yeah, by the way, he got a lot of guys to hit the ball directly at players, except for, right into the ninth inning when they had two outs and, a line drive off the end of the bat to right field was what ended up doing it. So, but hey, bottom line is you got the win and it was pretty entertaining. And those stands were packed last night at Oracle. It was pretty exciting there to watch them go through. But I don't know how they're doing it, Donnie, but they keep doing it. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
How about this one here? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, technically, it was broken a little bit last night for the Milwaukee Brewers. 9-game win streak ends in a 1-0 defeat. Now, granted, you had the wind blowing in Wrigley yesterday, and it actually really played that way. There were 15 total hits, but only one run scored by the Chicago Cubs. And how about this? Justin Steele, 15-3 on the season for the Cubs with an ERA of 2.69. Pretty impressive performance there. And also, keep in mind, Marcus Stroman being out, Steele takes over as that de facto lead man. They needed that victory for the Cubs last night, and they got it, improving now to 70-62 on the season.
I mean, huge, huge outing there for him. We knew the wind was significant last night at Wrigley blowing in. We know we watched that total drop. I still wasn't buying it, but as it turns out, the bats were not to be. Both pitchers, both Burns and Steele, for that matter, have done a fantastic. They did a fantastic job of limiting hard contact in that game. Steele even got hit with a comebacker that game, and there were some questions as far as whether or not he would. Oh my goodness, would they have to take him out? But he stayed in, and it all worked out for the Cubs. Big win there against the Brewers.
Don't look now. The Houston Astros have won four straight games, which includes another victory over the Boston Red Sox, 6-2. Bregman and Alvarez hit home runs. J.P. France picks up his 10th win of the season with now a 3.49 ERA. Rounding into form here, my goodness. You need to round into form if you play in the AL West.
Oh, poor Red Sox. Bello, that regression hit and has been hitting, and it hit again last night with the bats there of Houston, who continue to find themselves getting a little bit healthier, a little bit more, shall we say, a little bit closer to the Astros of old championship years as the regular season winds down here, Donnie. Tough team to say, yeah, stick a fork in them here. The Astros are going to be there when it's all said and done. Unfortunately for the Red Sox, second to last place, I guess, is what you're aiming for at this point.
Yeah, taking a look there at the Houston Astros. And again, Jose Altuve comes off a night for hitting for the cycle. Like, hey, man, he's probably going to be a go again the very next night. Well, he did play, if you want to say that, 0-for-5 at the plate. But it's nice when Bregman and Alvarez pick you up there through their 10 at-bats, 6 total base hits, 3 RBI, which include both of those guys, Alvarez and Bregman, hitting home runs. I'm back in the Astros here. I think they're going to do big things here down the stretch in Major League Baseball, which includes maybe a possible run to another championship. But we're going to switch gears here once again and go from the Major League Baseball diamond back to the NFL gridiron, because for some reason Joe Ranieri and Donnie Wrightside cannot get enough of the Indianapolis Colts, and we must bring these details to your attention. So don't go anywhere. Keep the dial right here, Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM channel 159. This is the Early Line on a Wednesday morning edition, and we will be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Donnie Wrightside, Inside Ear, early line edition for a Wednesday morning. Yeah, no better place to be here. We always got you covered from 7 to 9 a.m. Today is no different as we take a look at some NFL news and notes, which again are going to begin with Jonathan Taylor on the PUP list here for the first four games of the season. So let's dive back into this. So let's play out the scenario, Joe, right? Okay, we don't know what the offers were coming in. Hopefully, we have a leak that says, you know what? You know, Chris Greer and the Miami Dolphins, they offered a second and a fifth, and it was conditional. It wasn't enough, because that's going to set the parameters for us of what we think is going to be needed to get done, or a deal to get done in, let's just say, late September, October, right up to the 31st deadline for October. But having said that, overall, how does this play out here? Are we expecting that Jonathan Taylor comes back off the PUP list, is ready to play football, and then miraculously a mystery team comes in with a first-round draft pick and says, thank goodness, we'll take him off our hands? Or is this just going to get ugly, Joe?
Well, there's a couple of problems with it if you're Jonathan Taylor, right? Number one, you're going on the PUP list, which means you're going to be out of sight, out of mind. So whatever people weren't willing to pay for you when they knew you were available and had an opportunity to sign you, it's probably going to be less by the time you're actually available and off the PUP list and available to actually join a team. And then, unfortunately, if you're Jonathan Taylor, you are reliant on external factors helping you, right? Like teams and their running backs going down or in need of a running back. And, you know, the good news is you'll be the first person at the top of people's minds if they are absolutely depleted in the running back room. You'll be the guy that they think of. But then you also have to, worry, is Ursay and the Colts, are they willing to be realistic in helping you get out of there? So, you know, we talk about leverage all the time in the NFL, and boy, oh boy, has Jonathan Taylor lost all of it at this point. Now he can just not play and decide after the, you know, the 4 weeks and the four games, be like, I'm done with this year. I'll just play, you know, let the contract go, and then I'm finished. I'm out of here. That is up to him. But if he wants to play this year, he's either got to come to the realization that he's not going to get what he thinks he's worth, or he's got to hope that teams are going to be so desperate running backs by week five, they're going to give Ursay whatever it is he wants in order to be able to get him.
Let's just say we come down to the deadline again, which is October 31st, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he's the only running back that's going to be on the market.
Correct.
You're eight games into the season. Other teams figuring that we're probably going to be out of it and not signing this guy, and there's going to be multiple running backs with quality talent that are going to be like, hey, get him for a fifth, get him for a sixth. We just want any part of compensation. So the fact that we take a look at the leverage on the side of the Colts is quite hilarious, because we've seen time and time again the Eagles making a Super Bowl run. Jay Ajayi was on the trade market, picked him up for like a fourth-round pick and helped them win a Super Bowl. They didn't think of a first-round pick up to get a quality running back. That's what's going to be interesting here, because the stories are going to be told right up to, oh, you know what? Just couldn't work it out. So we're under the belief that there's a good chance that Jonathan Taylor doesn't take a snap this year, but gets paid by the Colts, and then they tried again in the offseason to trade him or play the tag game. I can't wait to see this actually play out, because I don't think it's going to work out in the best interest of the Indianapolis Colts. Now, the best interest of the Buffalo Bills, including filling your 53-man roster with the best players you can to try to win a Super Bowl in 2023-2024. That includes DeMar Hamlin, who, again, the NFL, so to say, is a meritocracy. You don't just say, hey, it's a feel-good story, we'll keep you on the roster. The NFL is cutthroat. That's not the way it happens. DeMar Hamlin earned his spot on the 53. But I ask you this question here. The Buffalo faithful love DeMar Hamlin. I don't think there's a guy that's cheered on more over the past 6 to 8 months by the NFL community than DeMar Hamlin. Answer me this question. Let's just say Hamlin was in the mix for one of those nickel spots, maybe a dime spot on the Buffalo Bills in the secondary, and he gets cut. How does that look for the Buffalo Bills if that actually played out that way? Would it have been nuts? Like, it would have led SportsCenter at that point. Would have led Sports Grid at that point as well. My goodness.
Yes. Yeah. No, it worked out because he elevated the game and is absolutely worthy of a spot. Otherwise, it could have got a little uncomfortable. But the reality is, I mean, listen, if he was on Arizona, it probably wouldn't have mattered whether he could play or he gone. They'll go ahead and keep ball. Actually, if he couldn't play, it'd be better for Arizona. But the reality with the Buffalo Bills is it's a team here that is trying to compete, Donnie, and has expectations of a Super Bowl and nothing less, right? So they are not going to surround themselves with feel-good stories. You're going to have to earn your spot. And the Buffalo Bills and Bills fans, the Bills Mafia, they would understand if he wasn't able to play, they'd still love him. But the reality is he can play, and he's going to be a big part of what that secondary does here this year for the Bills.
Now, we just had a graphic up here. I want to get back to it. The AP NFL Comeback Player of the Year on the FanDuel Sportsbook here. DeMar Hamlin is a minus 350. I got to tell you right now, it seems a little bit light to me here, because when we were talking about this in the offseason, we didn't know if DeMar Hamlin was going to come back to play football at all, let alone show up to training camp, earn a spot, and make the initial 53. I was saying if he just wound up on, like, the practice squad, he would be the comeback player of the year. He's on the active squad. So let me ask you this question now. Is there anything that Tua Tagovailoa, John Metchie III, Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, or Breece Hall can do to unseat DeMar Hamlin? I figured he made an NFL roster. There's no way they're not giving him this award, right?
Well, the guys on that roster, you know, especially the running back guys, there is some punishment happening there. So I think also what you have to look at in that kind of market, Donnie, is who has the best chance of actually playing enough games to be considered comeback player of the year, where injuries aren't going to be. The guy right behind him was what, Tua? And I'm already banking and betting that Tua is not going to be able to stay upright, especially now that they basically have nobody backing up Tua in Miami except for Skylar Thompson. So it's going to be even more important that he stay upright. So, yeah, I think it's those two, and that's as far as I would look, because a quarterback – they'll go out of their way to protect the quarterback. And Hamlin, if he stays on the field, is your winner here of that award.
Yes. And how about this? Let's move on to Trey Lance. Fresh start with the Dallas Cowboys. Moves on. The heralded high draft pick here coming out of an FCF school didn't work out for the 49ers. So what happened? They traded him to the Dallas Cowboys, a mid-round draft pick here. We'll see if he can restart his career with this fresh start. But the interesting part about this was also yesterday, Jimmy Garoppolo, which never really makes the news here, came out and had an interview that said, yeah, you know, it's kind of weird, some of the things going on with the San Francisco 49ers, which I thought was odd at this point. But Trey Lance on to Dallas, and now my favorite part about this is Trey Lance goes to Dallas. There aren't many expectations from people outside the building. But you know what people are starting to talk about? Ooh, you know what? Dak doesn't play well. Trey Lance is now the replacement. Don't know why the Dallas Cowboys made this move, but I love it for the fact that it might create now some controversy internally if Dak doesn't play well.
Very, listen, very low. There's not a lot of risk here for Dallas by bringing him in. And, I mean, let's face it, you let Will Greer go. Is he at least as good as Will Greer? Yes. I mean, let's be realistic. Is there upside, though, to him that is not with Will Greer, that's not going to cost you anything to see if you can unlock? You know, it's the right move here. You're not winning anything if Dak goes down anyway. So at this particular point, why not see if there is, you know, McCarthy has a pretty good history there of working with some pretty good quarterbacks. So let's see if he can unlock this kid's future here. And then Dallas, well, you don't have to worry about a quarterback situation once this Dak contract runs down.
How about this? You want some job security in the NFL as a quarterback? Be the only quarterback on the roster. Usually works out in your favor. Who are we talking about? Mac Jones of the New England Patriots here. Bailey Zappe and also Malik Cunningham waived, leaving the only guy left on the roster standing, Mac Jones, at the quarterback position. It never astounds me. Once you lose Tom Brady, the best football player to ever lace him up in the NFL, Bill Belichick just trying to find his way and meander through the fields.
Well, look at also, not just Bailey Zappe. They had already released Trace McSorley.
Correct.
The kid out of Louisville, Malik Cunningham, who had shown pretty good athleticism there during the preseason for New England. They let him go. So basically it's Mac Jones, or I'm thinking This is where you're going to hear Colt McCoy land up. There was even talk, and I can't believe it, but there was even talk about maybe 100-year-old Matt Ryan coming out of retirement to sit behind Mac Jones. So it's obvious that they have figured out in New England that there is not going to be any distractions. We're not going to have this rotating thing like we did last year. There's one guy for this job. It's Mac Jones. He doesn't have to look over his shoulder, and we're going to go with that. It's either going to work great or it's going to work miserably. But it's obvious that they have made the decision that Mac Jones is the guy, and they want him to know that in some way here, Donnie, by doing this. They want him to know you're not looking over your shoulder this year. It's your team. So we'll see if that works out.
Yeah, by the way, Bill O'Brien apparently clashing with Bailey Zappi as well. Didn't work out in his favor. We'll see who they bring back here off the scrap heap. Maybe add him to a practice squad. We'll see if that happens. Talking about practice here, not Allen Iverson, but Dalvin Cook, which is interesting because we did see, yes, as an Adam Schefter tweet comes up, he signed 2 weeks ago. Haven't heard much, but finally practicing. But it says the reason was not like shoulder rehab or getting back in shape. Dalvin Cook is a first-time father and was spending time with his son while going to a new team and trying to learn the playbook. Interesting scenario here. We expect big things out of Dalvin Cook, but we sort of saw him practicing sooner than later. No? Seems pretty late.
Yeah. I think they're going to take their time with Dalvin Cook, I think, as well as they should. There's a lot of miles on those tires there, Donnie. So the idea of trying to force him immediately into week one, there's no need. They'll be fine, until he can get up to speed. They'll work him in. Ultimately, your reason you went out and got Dalvin Cook isn't for the month of September, is it, Don? No, you went and got Dalvin Cook because when the weather turns and you need to grind out some games and some wins with Aaron Rodgers, there is absolutely no better than Dalvin Cook here, if healthy. And by all indications, the shoulder is better. He is going to be 100% with a chip on his shoulder. Should be fun to watch, but I think in October, November, and December, it'll be fun to watch.
When the winds start swirling in MetLife in the Meadowlands, nice little screen, yep, pass to Dalvin Cook. Always a good option. I'll tell you what's not a good option right now for the Kansas City Chiefs. Not to have Chris Jones, their superstar defensive tackle, in camp at this point, as they placed him on the reserve, did not report list. So this is going to be an interesting thing to let unfold, and I'm surprised it's happening here. He is a massive cog on that defense, and they need him if they want to get back to the Super Bowl and win another one here. Sure, we love Mahomes and Kelsey and Andy Reid in that offense, but my goodness, I'm surprised by this. I think he shows up by game one. Kevin and I were going back and forth on this. How do you think this Chris Jones saga plays out?
I'm shocked it got to this point, but it's getting really real for Kansas City here now. And I'm wondering even if Mahomes at some point is going to step up and be like, dudes, what are we doing here? Like, he is that important a part of that defense here. He has been on these championship years. So I still think they get it done. But it's probably all of a sudden going to be announced under the radar, like most everything else with Kansas City. Like, oh yeah, Chris Jones is back, by the way. All right, let's play football.
Yeah, we'll see the way it bears out, but they really need Chris. I mean, that is the guy that holds that defensive line together. You know, we're going next back to the Major League Baseball diamond. Changes in the works after the Ronald Acuna incident. Let's talk about it next right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour and hour number two right here on the Early Line, Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159, Donnie Wrightside, Joe Ranieri, and we're going to get to a hot topic here. If you were watching baseball in Colorado the past couple of days, yeah, sure, the Atlanta Braves are an impressive team, but an interesting incident did happen, which a few fans were able to get on the field and get close to Ronald Acuna, which now the MLBPA is saying we might have to revise some things. Now, revision of what? You're not allowed on the field, and most teams do have security. Does this mean extra security on the field? Because whenever you go to a Major League Baseball game, in between innings, they usually line the field with a couple of security guards slash police officers just so you can't run onto the field. But certainly could have been an interesting situation in Colorado if something had actually happened bad to Ronald Acuña here.
Well, you know, I mean, this is the typical, instead of being proactive, they're being reactive, right? Because now they got to say something like they're going to do something here, Donnie, because you basically had a couple of fans out bringing Acuña a beer and a hug and posing for selfies as if he was out in front of the stadium just hanging out. So the reality is, listen, this is not a – it was a very weird thing to see, but it's weird because it almost never happens. So one incident doesn't mean we've got a we've got an issue here. It just means that, well, maybe that particular security section there in Colorado needs to be readjusted. That's all that means.
Yeah, way back in the day, I mean, I remember Reggie Jackson hitting home runs in the Bronx where the entire stadium was on the field, basically blocking him from rounding third base. Hank Aaron's famous home run to pass Babe Ruth. Everybody's running out of the stands and hugging him while he's running around. So we have made some very good strides here in the past. It'll be interesting to see if anything comes out from this, but also it could have been a much, much worse situation. I do credit a lot for Ronald Acuña Jr. Maybe didn't see any harm, got the hug out there. They took him way off the field. Fantastic, because some players – they'd put the fists up quick, and who knows what would have happened at that point here. So at least we did not get that. But you know, we do have hour number two coming up next on the early line. We're going to talk some FIBA basketball, some U.S. Open tennis, Major League Baseball. It's all on deck. Come on back with us.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.